Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, editor at the Clarion Project, Meira Svirsky. Meira, good morning. Haven't spoken to you for way too long. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Give us while the rest of us are focusing, I guess, on COVID and floundering economies and surviving 2020, in the background, there's been these stories coming out of France, particularly, all around terror. And just before we realized it, it's getting more graphic, more ugly, and seems more serious. Can you give us a bit of context here, please?
I think the context comes from the trial that's going on about the, you remember in 2015, the horrible massacre that happened at the Charlie Hebdo magazine.
Yes.
And so, you know, in the context of that, things have really been revved up. So, you know, it started with this school teacher who was teaching about freedom of speech and in the same context. And, you know, so all these cartoons are coming up again, but it's really part of a bigger issue that's been festering for a long time in France. And it has to do with a couple of things. It has to do with multiculturalism and the alienation and marginalization that Muslims feel because of it. And then that's coupled with the state secularism in France, which is called laïcité, which is, I'm American, so this is a crazy idea for me, that in public spaces have to be free from religion, which to me as an American, that is not freedom to practice religion.
That's true.
So for example, in the early 2000s, you had the government banning all religious symbols in schools. So that meant eventually that, you know, the girls couldn't wear their hijabs to school. You know, can you imagine like if the government would tell, I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but in America, if the government would say, okay, you can't wear your yarmulke on the street.
We're very, very blessed in that way that religion
right. And
is incredibly,
so this has been very, very alienating. Mm. You know, already that the Muslims felt marginalized because I keep comparing this to America, but it's such a stark comparison is in America, you have the melting pot and in Europe, you have multiculturalism. And multiculturalism doesn't work in terms of integration. And then you have all the foreign actors that come in and stir up the pot, and especially Erdogan from Turkey and Qatar, you know, just drumming on about their idea, you know, of political Islam and how this is an affront and blasphemy and, you know, Muslims are victims. And so, and then you have the whole kind of, you know, thing that's going on in the world right now with Black Lives Matter and the whole victimization status and racism. And so it's a really deadly pot is what I want to say. And it's just coming to a head right now.
Shouldn't it mean that France should be re-looking at some of their own regulations? And of course, nobody wants to give in to terror. Nobody wants to give in to this, especially this type of brutality. But if there's a genuine, and the way you're describing it, certainly, there is room for, there's room for complaint, let's say, from religious communities, whether it's a Jewish community, Muslim community, etc., about how France is dealing with, and you used the term, just give us that term again, the French term.
It's called
laïcité.
Laïcité. Which basically means state secularism, which is a very, very different thing from the separation of church and state. Like in America, people always say we have a separation of church and state. But really what we have, if you look at the rights, it means that the state doesn't favor one religion over another. It doesn't mean that you can't have religion in the public space. But you have to understand that laïcité for the French is like, it's like their whole life. It's their whole idea. It's the whole revolution. It's a secular religion, laïcité. So even though, yes, ideally it would be really nice to revisit that concept for 2020 and even way before that, that's probably about as unlikely as getting Muslims to say that it's just fine to desecrate the image and make cartoons of Muhammad.
Right. So those are almost two immovable points. That being the case, this is almost bound to become more and more problematic. How could France possibly deal with it? Because these these terror acts are horrifying. And the other thing is, as you said, the international aspect of it is quite interesting. I think, Nabuchle, you said on the news that, that the perpetrator here came in from, I think, Tunisia. Just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So this isn't somebody that's been living in France and has been angered by it and felt oppressed by it. You know, this person escaped an area of oppression in order to come to France and then perpetrated this act. So therefore, it's an added element to it.
Yeah, it would be really easy to say that, except for, first of all, I don't think that Tunisia is such an oppressed place. Tunisia is probably one of the most open places and democratic places in the Arab world. That's number one. And number two, if you look at the perpetrator of the recent beheading of the school teacher, he was somebody who came from Chechnya when he was a child and he grew up in France. So they're getting this ideology in France. I mean, there was a time, you know, right now it says that the French Muslims, 70% of them would support blasphemy laws. 70% of them don't believe that a magazine like Charlie Hebdo should be able to publish those cartoons. And they're getting this ideology from their parents. They're getting this ideology. French right now, the French Muslim community supports, 70% of them support some idea of blasphemy laws. They don't believe that you should be able to have the freedom to publish cartoons like they did in Charlie Hebdo. So they're getting this, you know, and because they live in, you know, segregated societies for a large degree, they're getting this from their parents. They're getting this from their mas. So, and they're getting this from, you know, a lot of the imams that are being brought in from outside France, but it's a real clash of cultures.
But Mira, everything you're saying, when we were cut off, I was just saying to Nabuchle, it's such an interesting conversation because it gives context that I certainly didn't have, and you've really put it into perspective amazingly. But what's still missing is the leap. So if people are dissatisfied with some of those laws and there is this massive cultural conflict, that's it makes sense up to a point, but then to go from there to beheading people is something very, very different. That's a very different type of escalation. And do you see it continuing? Do you think that France will get this under control? Where does it go from here?
So first of all, let's address the first one. I'm not sure it's such a big leap. I mean, certainly for most people it is, to go and commit an act of violence. I'm talking about for most Muslims, it is. But then you always have, and you see, you know, the zealots are always young, and you always have some zealot who either because of ideology or a combination of ideology and the fact that, you know, they have not been successful in their life, or they've been socialized to think that they're a victim and they want a direct path to heaven, things like that. There's always, it has to be that the Islamists don't win. It has to be that way. So there are voices in France, which I was really happy to see. There's the head of some organizations of imams and other organizations that says this is not what we believe in, and speaking out against Islamism. I was really glad to see that this head of this organization was speaking out against Erdogan and saying, you know, you're not the head of the Muslim world.
Absolutely.
So butt out. So that's the kind of thing that needs to happen. It's not just that the change always has to happen from the inside. It has to happen from the inside of the Muslim world.
And from what you're saying, there are signs that it is happening from there. Because, you know, some years ago, I always remember the discussion, when we would speak about this, people would say, but, you know, if a man commits a terrible act of violence against a woman, we don't expect all other men to condemn it because, that's not a normal normal thing that we would expect from behavior. But the reality is, unfortunately, if we look at gender-based violence, men do need to stand up against it. So maybe the world has shifted, that we're starting to understand that even though even we can't be accused of being sexist by asking men to stand up against gender-based violence, in the same way we cannot be accused of being Islamophobic if there's an expectation that other Muslims stand up and make it very, very clear, as they are doing, that this is not tolerated and not acceptable in the Muslim faith. So there seems to have been a shift in a very positive way.
I would actually say that that's a false analogy, and I'll tell you why. Because the problem here is that these attacks are stemming from theology. We have no theology that says, that men should be violent towards women. But there is a way to interpret, the Quran.
Right.
It has very problematic parts of it. And so there needs to be something from a theological level that disproves that this is what the Quran is saying to do.
We're just
taking this one issue of blasphemy.
Yes.
So we need to have it from the inside, from Muslim leaders, and it has to be going from the top down. Now, Macron has instituted, he has this number of step policy that he rolled out to address Islamism, to get out the foreign imams, to get the kids into school and not to be homeschooled, and all these programs that were teaching them all this kind of stuff. I mean, that's certainly a start. A lot of people are saying, it's too little too late, but you've got to start somewhere. But I really believe, because the issue stems from a theological factor, it has to be addressed on that level.
Absolutely fantastic. Fascinating conversation. Iris Firsky, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. You've certainly given me a very, very different perspective of coming out of this conversation as to the one that I had going in. So I really greatly appreciate it. Iris Firsky is the editor at Clarion Project, talking to us about the attacks in France. Have a great weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. It is 8:26. I'm Howard Feldman.